And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode number 125, Spotlight on DC Comics Forever Evil number 3, and some other items thrown in for good measure. I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
Yes, he is.
Yes,
he totally.
Is. So, having survived my little disaster, I haven't completely, those of you that don't know, had a broken sink turn into a broken pipe and water on comic books. Not a happy camper. But luckily, so far, everything that was damaged can be replaced. About two or three Walking Dead hardcovers and some X-Men trades and the Invincible Compendium number 2 that I had bought, some of those pages are stuck together. They can't even open them, which usually that's the cost for that, but that's not what happened here.
It was just collections. It wasn't actual floppies.
Well, I was lucky that I had a big old blanket on top of the whole, it was like 25-30 boxes over there, and some of the boxes got damaged to the point where they'll have to be replaced, but all the comics, from what I could tell, it didn't actually get down in there, and they're all bagged and boarded anyway, so, yeah. But I would be lying if I didn't shed more than a few tears before I found that out.
Oh.
Yeah, because that was like all the Legion stuff was in those boxes, and God, I have trouble even looking over. I have wonderful holes in my ceiling that need to be fixed.
Yuck.
There's nothing really over there right now. But anyway, well, enough about that.
Well, hopefully it was all New 52 books.
So. Let's see. It was the first three volumes.
I'm just kidding. There's some good New 52. None of them are Legion, but they're all good. But there's some
So the first three volumes is Cerebus. They're pretty much toast, but I couldn't make it through the first one, so I probably won't even rebuy those. But I don't know, they might make good reader copies. Some of those, I don't know if it was the paper or whatever, but the water just made it where you can't even open some of the sections. They're just, like, glued together. So, I don't know. But anyway, the Walking Dead ones will probably be the ones I definitely, well, of course, in the Invincible thing.
May I make a suggestion?
Sure.
And I think Murray would support the suggestion, is any that are still readable but you don't feel like are keepable, give them to your library.
You know, that is a wonderful idea. I will do that. I will do that, yeah. I can just give them to them and let them decide.
There you go. You can even give them the ones that you consider to be unreadable, but perhaps they have special library superpowers to make them readable.
Yeah. That's a great idea. I will definitely do that. And they do have comics there, so. I was surprised when I went there the last time I was there. So anyway, here we are. Forever Evil number 3 is what we're going to talk about. But first we need to go over a few little items that happened in a tie-in that was actually a tie-in.
Yeah.
Justice League issues number 24 and 25. There's little bitty things in here. It's Origins of the Crime Syndicate. First few pages, it brings in showing Krypton from that universe. And everybody's yourself, the strongest shall survive. Jor-El and Laura are killing people so they can get to a rocket to send Jor-Il. It's not Jor-El, it's I-L, Ill. And yeah, it shows him rocketing off and to Krypton, and the difference that, you know, his mom and Pa Kent were druggies and wife beaters there, and as soon as he ate the kryptonite he became sentient apparently. But anyway, so now he's talking about that, and I don't know if you noticed the top there, and he was talking about those who tried to stop me over the years. Did you see what the nameplate said?
I did. President Lee Oswald.
I thought that was interesting. I had missed that the first time. I was rereading it again today.
You didn't like the part where he burns off Jonathan's hand?
Yeah, that was interesting.
And you will be my parents now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still the. But we didn't get baby Kal-El penis here, like we always do.
Yeah. Now the thing on that page.
You know what? It might be there. It might be there, top panel.
I didn't look.
It's colored green.
Oh, look at that! Yeah, almost. Yeah. I think that's just bad. I think that's just bad place drawing placement. But I suppose if I were like a man blood guy, that would be a great panel.
Okay, so moving along. The thing that devastated their Earth, and Ultraman gave it a he name until he came, since they were saying we ruled the Earth. I don't know if it was in. No, anyway.
But there's a big boom. I mean, I think it's very significant that the letter there is boom.
Saying, but not saying, it's Darkseid. Now, if you remember back in Trinity War, Man of Xanadu had a nice little premonition or a vision of three beings, two of them flying, looking over a devastated Earth, and it looked like Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, and...
Here we see it.
It was actually them. And then they're saying, there's nothing left, you know, Ultraman's saying there's nothing left to fight for, and Superwoman says, yes, there is. And, of course, her cape is in tatters, so that's why you didn't see it in silhouette before. So Owlman says, we have to escape. We have to save him, though he won't come quietly. And I assume that's the guy with the hood.
Yeah, but we don't know who Hood Guy is.
Yeah, which I have a theory, which I don't know why I didn't think of it before, but we'll get to that in a little bit later.
Who's Hood Guy?
I think it's their Lex Luthor.
Could be.
It makes perfect sense. You think about it. Well, I mean, Johns does just enough of the old stuff to make it recognizable, but he puts a new twist on it. And I don't know. I'm trying to think who else it could be.
I like Johnny Quick's costume on this page here.
The recap page?
I prefer his costume here with the lightning bolts on it and stuff.
Oh. Where am I at?
I don't know.
Recap page. Which page are you talking about?
What page number is this? This would be page... What, 11, 12, something like that?
Oh, where they're all standing there?
No, it's the one. It's the page where Grid is looking at that screen with Doom Patrol and stuff. But it's Panel 2, and Johnny Quick is cackling, and he's got that cool uniform with the lightning bolts on it.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'm sorry, I switched gears on you a little too suddenly there. I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay. But anyway... Ultraman goes on about how this world is backwards geography, but it's the same except for that humans, they coddle the weak instead of letting them survive. And while he's rambling on in his head, you see Owlman go to that world's Alfred and say, "I want to talk to Dick, Alfred. I have to." Anyway, so it recaps some other stuff, talking about. Metallo is one of the last locations of Kryptonite. You see Deathstorm and Power Ring going to Central City confront the Rogues, where they talk about that in that miniseries, and it comes to fruition in the next Forever Evil. And Atomica and Johnny are going around. Yeah, it looks like he's changed his costume a little bit. It looks different than it does on the front. On the front cover, actually, if you really look at it.
And it once again highlights the fact that...
maybe not.
...Atomica does absolutely nothing.
No, but hold on tight to his shoulder, apparently.
Is that Hawk next to him?
I think so. I think it's Hawk and Dove.
Yeah, it's Hawk and Dove. You can see Dove right above him, and it's a female.
There she is, yes.
And then you see the Doom Patrol, which looks like one of the incarnations from the old universe.
Yeah.
Which version would this
be? This would be the set version, the all-new Doom Patrol.
Yeah, that's like one of them. The female was like Tempest or something like that. I think her name wasn't, or no, Celsius. And she could shoot fire from one arm and ice from another or something like that.
Murray. Yep. Murray's our local.
Yep, that's her. And you got Tempest and you got Negative Woman there. And
Tempest was the other
guy. It's interesting that they've got, I'm curious what they're doing with those guys.
They even have the costume colors the same, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah, they went back to the 70s outfits there, sort of. They've updated them slightly, but...
I'm sorry?
Where's the ambush bug?
He's on Channel 52 right now.
Yes, he's a big media star.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. They talk about that, of course. The little Doom Patrol is what they're calling himself. He dealt with. He's talking about the different threats. Kandahak lies within the penumbra of the eclipse, and there's still something going there. Anyway, so, okay, this is where it comes. Yeah, okay, I couldn't remember. This is a nice little revelation coming up here. He goes to the Daily Planet, and apparently he's wants to see how this world has weakened to what I know. And you see Lombard and Steve Lombard, the biggest dick in the from the Silver Age, or prick, I should say. And she's typing up a story to get ready for when he comes back, and yada yada yada. So anyway, Ultraman crashes in, and the first thing he does, he goes for Jimbo, and she's like, "Jimmy, that's not Superman."
Can I
this is the first time you've seen Super Jimmy, and he's a kid again. And I just realized something. In the Superman comic, she's like the lead of that TV thing, so she's back to reporter here. So that makes me wonder if this is way before the Superman series started, or they just screwed up. One of the two.
I think she's just taking it. She can't do her multimedia thing with DBS, so she's off. Okay, well, I can type up a story at least, which brings up the point that she's typing on an electric typewriter when they have no electricity. But
very, very good point. Yeah,
that is totally an electric typewriter. But yeah, I don't think it's a mistake. I think it's just that she can't do her TV or internet thing, so she's off doing. She's got to keep her hands busy somehow.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the first time I think they've shown that kid, Jimmy Olsen. I don't think. Did they ever show him in Superman? I don't remember. Did they?
I think it's in Action Comics.
Okay, maybe I'm right.
Yeah.
No, it was the movie Man of Steel that they did show. That was what I was listening to an old episode of Legion podcast the other day, and they were talking about it. So anyway, he walks up. It's like, "What do you do, Jim? I'm a photographer." Blah blah blah. And he's like, going on about what kind of picture did you take of her of Lois in exchange for favors, and that's kind of reminiscent of Grant Morrison's Earth 2 hardcover, which was on the CD side, some of that stuff. And she's yelling at him, put him down, and he breaks his hand because he can. He's like, and I love this little thing. Where's the boy who fought back, who skinned Steve Lombard for sneaking a peek at his private collection? And Lois stupidly runs out and says, "Let him go." And he throws her to the side, and he uses super breath to blow away all the other people that are trying to come to her aid. Which, I mean, it's really dumb, but anyway. He turns his signal watch on, and Ultraman's like, "What's that all about?" And he said, "I'm very disappointed, Jim. I see it now. It's coming from your watch. This isn't a distress call, but no one's coming." He's just about to crush his head, and Lois Lane smacks him with her typewriter. Now, this is where one of the revelations I got. He said, Lois Lane, you may have the same name as Superwoman, but you clearly are not her physical equal. So Superwoman of Earth 3 is Lois Lane. Which is kind of, if you think about it, that's kind of interesting. Anyway. But she's an Amazon. I wanted to pick that Amazon apart piece by piece for years, but that would leave me without a suitable mother for my child. However, when it comes to you, Lois, I can do whatever I want with you. And then it's like, Superman isn't coming anyway. So Grid speaks up about that time. So I'm in the middle of something, and he's like, he's about to just rip her to pieces. It's a it's our problem from Kanahek. Jimmy Olsen's signal device is headed right towards you, and he's like, what? So that's when Black Adam attacks. Kaboom!
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's this world is, I've seen it in every language I go. So anyway, yeah, there's some big guy throwdown going on, and he thinks he can just rip Superman, Ultraman's arm off, which I don't think he's ever fought Superman. And he's like shocked that he can't do it. So anyway, he starts kicking his butt, and it's like, to be continued in Forever Evil. There's your three things. The thing that destroyed Earth 3's Krypton is the same thing that attacked the Earth and made the crime syndicate leave Earth 3. Sandy's vision was of the crime syndicate, not of the Justice League. And Superwoman is Earth 3's Lois Lane. So there's your two. And it doesn't seem like that Superman or Ultraman is as vulnerable to magic as Superman is.
I think he might be, though. He's made some comments about Lois's or a Superwoman's lasso having an effect on him, and I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it's not a magic lasso anymore. Maybe it's just a It's got other.
She's got him hogtied in that issue, and as she's disrobing now under her Superwoman.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if he's the submissive in that.
The caption says, and I, some think they can use me, so maybe he was letting her think that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's interesting. I'm wondering whether it's, like, she's an Amazon, so I'm wondering where the Diana Prince character is, or whether there isn't one, or...
Maybe she took on Lois Lane...
Or whether, Lois Lane is her the name she took on, in which case there should be another. I don't know. It's neat. I mean, it's playing around. I don't think we'll see anything more of it. I think he's just taken. I think they've taken a couple of characters and mushed them into this Superwoman character, which is fine.
I predict, not to get completely off topic, but I'm going to go ahead topic anyhow. But I predict a year from now ish that they will do some specials or some one shots around these characters, just like they always do with high selling event comics, and they will do a focus on the some of the individual characters that came up during this, and she will be one of them.
Yeah, that's probably possible.
I think Superwoman will get her. I think she'll get her issue. She'll get a Justice League issue. I would.
Well, yeah.
27.
There's the other.
I would love to see it if she didn't. It would be bold if they did not do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she will.
Well, okay, now I read in one of these that her records, it was Grid that was going through, and it was in one of the Justice League 26. Wasn't he going through all the different origins of the other ones?
Yep.
And her info had been completely erased.
Yeah. Yeah, so clearly there's some sort of story there. I think we'll get it before.
Yeah.
Before too long.
Let's see. Cover of Justice League number 25, a scene that never happens in the comic. Now, I thought this one was interesting. Here we're getting the Owlman's origin. So you see the Waynes, and there's an older brother and a young Bruce, which... If you'd read any of the City of Owls stuff, they hinted around that there might have been an older brother.
Well, the one guy said he was his older brother.
Yeah.
What was that character's name? I don't even remember now. But
I don't know, but he was...
The mayor. Wasn't it the mayor?
Yeah, it was the guy that was running for mayor, and he ended up... That's what he was. And he turned himself into a Talon. With that, when he was dead and all that stuff. So anyway, complete opposites. You know, Bruce is a whiny little brat. And, you know, just buy the boy what he wants, Thomas. Your screeching hurts my ears. It's like we're on a budget. I need to save every dollar I can to keep the lawyers fed. Because you can't stop slipping when you put someone under the knife. Those accidents are adding up, Thomas. And it's hard to deny the pattern as anything but your surgical fetish, you idiot. Mommy, I want a gun like Zorro. Make Daddy buy me a Larson L380. Bang, bang. Anyway.
So she's a bitch and he's pussy whipped and also a bad surgeon, which...
Well, no, it's more like he's likes to cut people up, so there's the accidents.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you see... She turns around and the gun in the alley is actually the Thomas Wayne Jr. And he has decided... And the name of this is Forever Lost, Jeff Johns and Doug Monkey. It's a nice little twist. Basically, the older Thomas Wayne says, you're going to throw, you know, between the two of you, you're going to get rid of our fortune. And he's, you know, the older Thomas Wayne's hiding behind Martha. And, you know, we're never going to have any, we're not listening to you anymore because you're going to throw away our money and we're going to have to kill you if we're going to get anything. And then Bruce says, I can't. What? I've changed my mind. I don't want to hurt Mom and Dad. You've played a plan, Bruce. You a deal. Don't you back out now. So anyway, Bruce and them are wrestling. And, you know, she's like, stop this foolishness. 8 lashings for each of you. And about that time, there's gunfire. And it ends up being the... and, of course, there's the pearls.
Yes. Can't have an origin story for Batman without pearls.
Yeah, even an alternate universe one.
Frank Miller.
Yeah, and of course the butler did it and shot Thomas, Martha, and Bruce, which that could be the hooded guy.
Too, Alfred? By the way.
No, Bruce. He made it. He didn't die.
Oh.
Just a thought. Another thought I had. Which is why Owlman is so, you know, maybe Ultraman's keeping around to kind of hold something over him.
Right.
And maybe they look so much alike, he pretended like he was Owlman and did a bunch of crap and tore him apart. Maybe that's what all that was about. See, I'm just making shit up now. There's no evidence to support that whatsoever, but that just popped in my head. So, anyway. About that time, the Owl... hooting at them, saying, who are you? And you can hear the theme song to CSI in the background.
Exactly what's going through my head.
well, you know, I take that back. So the next, because he's still alive, and it says, he's Tommy Dommy, and he goes, who am I? I'm Thomas Wayne Jr., the richest boy in Gotham City. Then he shoots Bruce in the head. But, you know, this is comic books. Now, here's another little wonderful little thing. We're on our Earth now, and yep. You see a guy playing with rubber bands. Because I'd seen this mentioned on a website, and I'd read through this so fast I forgot. But anyway, so Owlman's talking, and he's playing with a rubber band. He says, and it breaks. Jesus, Eel, will you quit playing with those damn things? And okay, so you see a bunch of he's talking. It's only a matter of time before the world broke. But anyway. They're in Chicago, and there's a bunch of mobsters. And they're talking, Chinks is the one he's talking to. But anyway, everyone's nervous. Maroni's boys, Gazzos, even Frank Bertinelli, which Bertinelli was the redone Huntress's
daddy.
Father.
Daddy.
And she started fighting crime because of them. They did a really good thing with the question, the original question, and her, that, I forget the name of the series, but gave her a whole origin and all that stuff, but that's all different again.
They did that. They did that in Justice League Unlimited, right?
No, well, no, they I don't know what came first. Is their connection there or their connection in that that miniseries first? I really don't know.
I bet it was Justice League Unlimited.
Because
that was so unheard. I mean, it was such a unique thing where he was that Rorschach type character.
Yeah. So anyway, they're talking back and forth. Basically, they're saying, let's all get together and...
let's get together.
Let's see, what I'm asking is, so is it? It doesn't want us, so... Yeah, okay, so they're like hired goons, and all the big guys are inside trying to figure out what to do. They're figuring out what they can offer Ultraman and his syndicate to let us join them, as if we're even on the radar. Yeah, you're right, Shanks, and that's good for us. Syndicate guys probably don't even know we exist. So then you see... Al's talking, I prefer to take control of what's already in place. I paid off, blackmailed, and threatened those who ran Gotham until it was mine. And sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes I've had to burn it all and start again. So then you see Owlman attack.
Owlman attack!
That's right.
Went too far. I hit the end, go all the way to the end button. Let me catch back up here, sorry.
That's okay. Basically, Owlman is just attacking the mobsters to figure out which one is going to be the last one standing that he will put under his thumb.
Yeah, I'm building it.
We get. Come on, the origin of
Plastic Man.
That's right. Yep, he gets shot, and then some kind of chemicals get dumped on him, and he's standing there, and all of a sudden he's all melting. Help me, help me. A new beginning.
Yeah, no, I was not expecting that at all.
No, I wasn't either. You might be our first hero. So, you know.
It's interesting, though, because Plastic Man popped up in the Justice League International series already.
Didn't he? Did he?
Yeah, he popped up in some of the first issues. They're just trying their darndest to forget that Justice League International ever existed in the New 52.
I kind of liked it myself.
It was fine. It was fine, but it didn't fit in with the tone that they wanted to go with the rest of the Justice League, I don't think. So they quickly...
Was he evil Brian, though? I mean,
we don't know. Yeah, it was. It could have been anybody. And really, if it's a storyline that doesn't work and it's not going to be remembered, then you just...
Yeah.
Right over top of it anyway, so...
Yeah, I don't remember... I mean,
we see that happen all the time, but...
I don't remember but that doesn't mean anything.
I wasn't reading Justice League International, so I have to...
I read it till I heard it was canceled, and I quit.
Fairweather.
Yeah.
One of those.
Well, it was okay, but it wasn't, you know...
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, if my money wasn't going to keep from getting canceled, then what was the point? Anyway, okay, so they're getting a little... I don't know. It was iffy anyway. Okay, a little recap talking about the Titans going to the future, which I'm still kind of interested. I kind of like to know what the deal is with that because I've heard little bits and pieces. There's supposed to be a Legion in that and whatever. Ultraman comes back and because he mentioned that they were there to save Nightwing.
I like the moment where he cuts where he's got the two guys hanging upside down and the one guy calls him Batman and he cuts him loose.
Yeah, it's like that's right. I only need one of you alive. And they're arguing back and forth.
I'll do whatever you say, Batman. Oh, well, that's it. You're done.
Yep. Catch you later. Bye-bye.
So he like brands the guy. Say you're mine now. Your family is mine. So anyway, he comes back with a bag full of crap. Says Ultraman has any plans for Richard Grayson's I'm not aware of. You tell me now. And Grid's like, you're not. Where is the Man of Malice anyway? En route to Metallo at an army depot in. She's Superwoman. She was planning to join Ultraman. So he's So. He's going in to talk to Grayson. He says, I want the cameras off when I go inside to talk to Grayson. Grid, I want to be alone. Understood. Make sure he obeys me, Alfred. Yes, Master Thomas. So anyway, They're going on, and the two of them are talking back, and he wants Nightwing to be his partner. Now, I had trouble with this one, this part. I couldn't figure out which universe it was supposed to be, because I thought, like, but I guess it was actually their universe. But he's talking, you know, Thomas's family, so on and so forth. But anyway, they're showing the Flying Graces and his wife, John and Mary, and their children, Richard and Rachel. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Is that our universe? Because they've got the red outfit like he's wearing now. So it's like he had a sister. You know?
Yeah, I think that's Earth 3, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it, that was really Earth 3. And he says, he comes from a very different family than the one from my world. The Graysons I knew ran a circus that I inherited from a clown named Anthony Zucco after John Grayson murdered him. Most of the other acts were blackmailed into joining the Graysons. The circus became a front for their money laundering operations. They visited Gotham often. I did business with them often. So the Graysons were killed, leaving their only son behind. And then, so it shows him, don't worry, Richard, I'm here for you. And it's kind of a parallel between the younger and newer version.
Yeah.
So he's being nice to him, thirsty, and he takes his mask off. He's got some scratches on his face, probably from that world's Catwoman. Just my anyway. my name is Thomas Wayne Jr. In another world, you called me the brother you never had, and you were the brother I'd always hoped for. So anyway, they're arguing back and forth, and there's a lot of stuff there. It's just he wants something different. He doesn't want, you know, meanwhile, Nightwing's breaking out. So they start a fight. He's basically telling him, after moving your mask in front of the world, everyone knows your real name, Richard. Sonny has already leveled your apartment building in Chicago. Your friends have been hunted. Batman is dead. What you do, both personally and globally, is gone, forever gone. Like me, Richard, you need to stop. Start over. I'm offering you the chance. He's saying, destroy the world. No, no, no. I want to help save it from the crime syndicate. Your world is a mess. Your Justice League should have cleaned it up and taken control long ago. His goal is nothing less than enslave your Earth and amass his power for himself, driven by his paranoia and fear. But on this world, his supply of kryptonite is limited. Ultraman is vulnerable for the very first time. This world is either taken over by him or it's taken over by me. Those are your only options, Richard. Will you help me stop the crime syndicate? And he kind of pauses and he says yes. So it's like that was a big, big deal. Well, he's changing back up. Until they can, you know, it shows them, you know, in the other universe. And he says, on my world, our relationship fell apart when Richard learned the truth about his family. He learned that I had arranged their deaths. I had murdered them. And I did so for one reason, that he would bond emotionally to me. I've made a better plan this time, a bigger plan to fix my family. And meanwhile, Superwoman was outside and heard the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
To be continued in Forever Evil number 4.
Yes. Is that what they say? Yeah. Except yeah. At this point we hadn't had Forever Evil 3 yet,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, it came out before. So
great publishing.
Yeah, it's kind of wonky. Alright, here we go. Now, our featured attraction. Who wants to take this one?
Hold on, we're going on to Forever Evil 3?
3,
if you guys want.
Yeah, for sure.
We're only half hour in. That is, if I can get the damn thing to come up.
Okay, sorry, I had to actually open it.
Here we go.
Hey, look at that cool cover.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
Little David Finch action going on there. You got Bizarro, Black Adam, Captain Cold, Luthor, and Black Manta. They're all fighting each other. Okay.
Hey.
Sorry.
None of that.
I'm out of caffeine.
Oh, no.
All right. Who wants to go through this one?
What does that even mean, you're out of caffeine?
I just drank it all. Unless I go upstairs and get some.
In any second now.
Hopefully.
You'll be bopping along. Oh, I'll take it.
Yes, please do. I'm...
So we get a bit of a recap at the beginning. Just setting the stage for where everything was. So we've got, for those people who are coming in late, Cyborg has been split apart from his...
Yes, we finally found out where the Justice League went. anyway.
Yeah, his human body and his virus cyborg body have been split apart. The Justice League has been defeated. We're right at the very end of Trinity War, where the crime syndicate have come through their little vortex or whatever. And while Batman, Catwoman, and Cyborg's head have been scurried off to the corners of the battle, all the rest of the Justice Leaguers have been sucked into Firestorm somehow. I guess
the Firestorm Matrix. Yeah, that's where they're all at.
Deathstorm did some sort of whammy-jammy and opened up.
People kept saying he was Professor Stein, and now I understand that line he said, what that means. You share the spark of creation with another living person, why would you do that? And that's because it's just Professor Stein.
Yeah.
Now I understand.
Yep, he's not a sharing guy.
Yeah, so Batman's kind of explaining it to the Vic's father, I think, is what the deal is.
Yeah, no, I don't know if Batman gets that they're inside a Firestorm.
Yeah.
I think he just gets that they're gone. And do we know where Firestorm has gone?
I think he's just like
is Firestorm somewhere sucked into his own matrix too. I guess
he actually says, and the very first thing's got the bat symbol in the background, and they don't show it after that. But he says, but everyone still there was pulled. We got Vic clear of the battlefield, but everyone still there was pulled towards Firestorm. And then they were gone. Yeah, he doesn't really know exactly what happened. So.
Yeah, so I'm guessing Firestorm got destabilized or something. And it's kind of explained in Justice League of America, sort of.
Yeah, they're all like in a...
they're all there in some sort of...
It's like a mind thing where they're... I don't know, they're in a hell of their own making kind of deal.
Yeah.
But then T.O. Morrow says right there, so if all the other heroes were in prison inside the Firestorm Matrix, what happened to Firestorm? And then
okay, Cat, so they do know that then.
Yeah, Catwoman says that's a $1 million question. She doesn't know.
Okay, so somewhere they find Firestorm and they're able to find all the rest of the heroes. But there is, of course, a clock ticking because Dr. Morrow says if the Firestorm Matrix was taxed with that many individual psyches, he's going to be unstable. He's probably going to blow up real soon. So, you know, they're on a timeline. In the meantime, they are in Detroit in Star Labs in the Red Room with what's left of Cyborg and his daddy. And they're trying to see if they can figure out what to do with him, and we were wondering, you know, how has Cyborg survived so far without, you know, a body? And they explain that he's got like the synthetic stuff that's in his system that goes through his veins has kept his brain alive this long, but since he doesn't have the ability to replenish it, so again, they're on a timeline, it's broken down, they're going to have to fix him or he is going to die, so... So there you go. Not only was he saved by being put in a Green Lantern bubble, but his own system is kind of saving him, at least for a smaller amount of time.
I would love to see, I mean, because even Catwoman, who is a mainstay in Gotham, she is a true Gothamite, she has no idea who Richard Grayson is, even in relation to Bruce Wayne.
I
would love to see an exploration of that time when Dick Grayson was you know, full blown Robin in Gotham. I mean, he wasn't sleeping in a cellar the whole time he was Dick Grayson with that.
No kidding. He was like Bruce Wayne.
Well, maybe
Wayne.
He was never made Bruce Wayne's ward, and you got that whole thing that there was all three of those Robins were in that 5-year period.
Even if he wasn't a ward, he was. I mean, Bruce Wayne has got to be a celebrity. He's got to be like a big famous dude. So any little kid that he takes into and I mean, Dick wouldn't have been a little kid. He would have just been a little younger than Bruce. So that would have like people would have known. There would have been headlines. There would have been news stories. Like he's not going to be a completely unknown factor here in DCville.
Yeah, that strikes me. How are they going to reconcile the fact that no one seems to know who he is? But yeah, like you said, Murray, he was tightly connected with Bruce Wayne, at least for a short period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have been. I mean.
You would think, yes.
So.
And they've made such a big deal out of the circus in Gotham. I mean, in the Nightwing book, it was a big deal that the circus was going to be permanently based out of that old amusement park, right?
Yeah, they did.
And then the amusement park was went boom
during the death in the family. And it, yeah, and then Kyle Higgins has gone to the trouble of moving him to Chicago, and now they've destroyed that. And it was Bloodhaven before that, so. Don't live near
Nightwing.
No one's
going to want Dick Grayson to come live in their town. That's right.
That's right. I'm sorry, but you can't come live here.
your name is what? It's Richard. No, I'm sorry. You're good. Keep moving. Move along.
Move on. That's right. We got a desert that you can live in.
I don't know what they're going to do. Yeah. Put him out in the desert.
He's going to end up in Panama. What's that place where Dead Man.
Panda Parabat.
Yeah.
Man-to-par-bat. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So basically, Batman decides when he hears the news that Dick's identity has been revealed, he decides that he's got to go off and try to get him. And he makes sure that Vic is in good hands and that Dr. Stone is able to do some stuff with him. And then when he's assured that, he's like, okay, well then, I am out of here and I got some people to rescue. So, of course, Catwoman goes along with him.
Now, is this this was the first time we saw a reaction for him seeing Dick Grayson getting revealed publicly?
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Because he was MIA in Forever Evil 1.
Right. Okay. This is the first he's heard of it, and
yeah, she's like, "Who is he?" It's like, "I have to go save him," you know, and he's a friend.
Yeah.
That's all they say.
He's my longtime companion.
Uh-huh, totally. Okay, then we go visit with Lex Luthor, and he's being wooed by Bizarro. Bizarro is picking up sunflowers and handing him flowers.
What's a date night?
It's date night. Date night in downtown Rubbleville.
It's like that thing in the Frankenstein movie.
Rubbleville.
Yes. I'm not sure where they are. They're probably a metropolis. Anyway, Luther wants nothing to do with flowers. He's not a big guy on romance.
However, movie, don't give me flowers.
That's right. Don't give me flowers. I want a satellite dish.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I said, I have 26 LexCorp satellites hidden within the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, filled with data I don't want anyone, including Cyborg, getting to. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So that's his plan here. He's gonna get his own energy source, and he's gonna use Bizarro to get it. And this is the only way he can do it, I guess, by hooking himself into one of his own satellites and making use of the knowledge and abilities there. So he finally decides if Bizarro, the only way to get Bizarro to do what he wants is to accept the token of friendship. He takes the flower. He smells it. He's like, thank you. Thanks for the flower. And then Bizarro goes and gets the satellite dish out of the ground. And I love that Luther is like on his last nerve. He's mm-hmm. like, his patience is like, ah, good boy. Put it down so it's facing east. Facing me. This way. Over here, big guy.
Come on, did you need a little bit more?
That's right.
Biscuit now.
That's what biscuit.
And then he's like, I would prefer to work in silence, creature, so close your mouth when you're breathing, won't you? He's such a sweet guy.
He is.
Takes your flower and then wants nothing to do with you. Bummer. Okay, so Luther gets himself all uploaded. He's online. He's scanning. He figures out where Ultraman is, and we get to see the battle between Ultraman and Black Adam. And really, I guess if you're not following the Justice League books.
Yeah, you might not know.
We'd probably be coming in a bit cold. Because I don't think we saw this in Forever Evil 2, did we?
Nope.
No, yeah, that's right. Justice League is when they started fighting.
Yeah, so it's Justice League is one of those books that you kind of have to have read a little bit. This is where you need a little editor's box or something saying.
Yeah, this fight started, blah, blah, blah.
Anyway, yes, they're doing their fighting. Black Adam tries tries the trick of calling down the Shazam lightning to electrocute Ultraman, but it doesn't do any good. And Ultraman just breaks Black Adam's jaw and then tosses him into the ocean and flies off, all of which is observed by Luther.
And I think it's interesting, he does the Shazam lightning bolt, but he doesn't change back into whoever he is.
That's because the lightning bolt didn't hit him.
That's a new twist, because in the past, yeah, it didn't hit him, but it would still change
him. It'd still change him, and he'd say it again to call it again, too. So
yeah, to come back to be changed back into his superpower. But I think that's the way
it always worked? I thought it had to make contact, even in the... Maybe it didn't, though. I guess Kingdom Come, it did.
Yeah, no, the lightning was hitting Superman, not him.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Didn't he keep changing back and forth from Billy to Captain Marvel, Billy to Captain Marvel?
Yeah, but Billy had grown.
Right, but
exactly. You're right.
It was striking Superman, but it was still changing him from Billy to Captain Marvel and back and forth. Mm-hmm. I prefer this twist where it actually has to touch them to have whatever the mm-hmm. impact you want is.
Maybe the Villains Month touched on this, but I'm not sure why Black Adam's back.
I don't know either.
Because he was dusted, like turned into dust and stuff at the end of the Shazam arc in Justice League.
But didn't something happen and I don't remember.
I don't remember either, but I mean, clearly he's back. And I guess if he does turn back into whatever he's supposed to, doesn't mm-hmm. turn back into dust anymore because something has changed for him.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of Shazam, there's a little in the Justice League Beyond thing that takes place in the Batman Beyond universe. They've got Shazam's part of the team now, or Captain Marvel. Actually, Shazam. And it's a neat little twist. I just read it this morning. When they say Shazam, it's like all the Marvel family can only occupy the space at one at a time, so they say Shazam, and it's like, well, Billy's like, I'll call my sister, she's Mary, she's faster, so he says Shazam, and then she appears, and then something else needed to be done, so she said Shazam, and the actual wizard Shazam came, because they needed some magic whammy. So anyway.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I kind of like that little twist.
So, they're in the middle of cooking dinner. And they get Shazammed out of cooking dinner, and they burn their house. Nice, okay.
Yeah,
that could happen. Mm-hmm. Oosh. That's dangerous.
Great. Sorry.
No, that's quite all right.
Living like the life of Shazam?
I like that Ultraman doesn't know the word Shazam.
That is interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Which says that there's probably not a Shazam on Earth 3, so...
Probably not, no.
Interesting. So, Ultraman...
Little takeaways.
Yeah, so he's... right there for the... He says, Shazam, how silly. And then you see he's starting to bleed from his nose.
Yeah, he needs his power up. He needs some kryptonite. Which is why he's going to go find Metallo. I was going to say Ultra Humanite, but it's... It's Metallo. And Luther has watched all this, and he's quickly deduced that Ultraman is staying out of sunlight. He's like, why would he be doing that? So it's not going to take him long to figure out that Ultraman is this complete opposite of Superman, where sunlight is...
Well, that would kind of make sense since he moved the moon.
Yeah. And Luther, I think, figures that out pretty quickly. He just hasn't quite got there yet in this mm-hmm. issue. Then we drop into Central City and we touch base with the Rogues, and we see Deathstorm and Power Ring slapping the rogue's hand, saying, tut, 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 you guys should have taken down this city. Why haven't you done this? And Power Ring is all jittery the way he is, and he flies off the handle. They don't really give the rogues a chance to explain. They just attack right away. He's going to kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the rogues fight back. And this is the point where we... And some of these scenes are pretty much word for word what you see if you read Rogue's Revenge. So if you are following Rogue's Revenge, this little section is very much from Rogue's Revenge 2, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe number 1.
And I totally, as I was rereading this, I was like, I remembered reading it. I had thought I had seen it.
Yeah.
Or
you're reading it and you're thinking, wait a minute, there's supposed to be another panel here. I remember something else happening here. And mm-hmm. then you realize, oh, no. That happened in Rogue's Revenge, where they expand on this scene and they make it a little bigger. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Like, if you want to follow Rogue's Revenge, you get enough story there that
I actually like that title.
Yeah, isn't a bad deal. And if you're not reading Rogue's Revenge, these panels give you just exactly what you need. Mm-hmm. So they're having their battle, and throughout it, kind of the upshot is that Deathstorm realizes that these guys have all had their powers kind of enhanced. They've all had their DNA reworked, so he reverses that, and Captain Cold is no longer able to generate cold from his body, and he's now powerless. And the rest of the rogues run out before they get the same stuff done to them. They hop through the mirror with Mirror Master, and Power Ring smashes up the mirrors, thereby splitting up the rogues.
And giving us a new twist on the Firestorm Matrix, where this Firestorm and this Deathstorm can impact organic matter.
Can work on human and DNA stuff, because I don't think the original can.
That's right. No, he couldn't. Sure.
Yes, so in this case, and finally...
Power Ring hits the mirror that they go through and shatters it.
Yeah. I like this, though. I would prefer that the rogues not be powered up. I would prefer them to have...
Yeah, that was like...
Ray guns.
John's way of undoing that, wasn't it?
Yeah. Which is good, because I think Didio was the one that wanted them to have their powers inborn or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so John loved writing those rogues issues of.
He did. Yeah,
he dug that.
Anyway, I like having Captain Cold be powerless again, and hopefully the rest will soon be to follow.
Yeah, so I need an appliance store in 32 minutes to fix that. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's good. Like he'll figure out his cold gun stuff. And so that's where Captain Cold is left off, and we go visit with Bizarro and Luther, and this is kind of cool. He instead of having freezing icy breath, Bizarro has this big flaming... He's like a dragon. He's like a little baby dragon.
It's like Smog.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Luther was hoping, I guess, that he would blow the water...
Churn it enough to make
to make Black Adam appear, and instead he kind of burns away the water, and they pick up instead of picking up Black Adam, Black Manta appears, and he's got Black Adam's body. So I guess maybe Luther had already contacted Black Manta.
Yeah, maybe so.
And the churning of the water was just a way of saying, here's where we are.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Either way.
So where are they? What city are they in?
I have no idea. Maybe still Metropolis. Well, they have to be in Central City.
Well, they... No, well, I don't think so. I think they're in Metropolis, actually.
Yeah, they'd have to be, because that's where the fight was.
Well, in Rogue's Revenge, the fight was in Central City, and then they jumped through the mirrors.
Ultraman and Black
Adam. Oh, Ultraman and Black Adam. Yeah, that was in Metropolis.
But, you know...
Was it the Wakanda? I thought that was in I thought that was in Kandak. That's why I was a little confused there.
Yeah. No.
Jimmy's watch called Black Adam there.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
No, that's cool. It's a little confusing.
Yes. So this is where the villains meet up. So we've got Black Manta and we've got Luther and Bizarro, and they've got Black Adam, and Captain Cold comes walking over, and they decide that they need to work together. It's a calling together of the clan or whatever, and they're all... Mm-hmm. We get a final page that is totally ripe for pinups and being sold at Comic-Cons all around the world. We've got the five rogues there, well, the five villains, getting ready to take on the Syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Batman versus Luthor. Which,
yes.
Looking at the cover for Forever Evil number 4, I had to look real close. The first time I saw it, it looked like Batman's tongue was wagging like a dog, but it was actually blood coming out of his mouth.
Yes.
Was that just me, or is that what it looks like too?
I'd have to look at it again.
But anyway.
Okay, let's look at the solicits there for Forever Evil 4.
Oh, okay.
Lex Luthor versus Batman. Yes, that happens. With the fate of the Justice League in the balance. I don't remember that part. The Syndicate obliterates another super team in its wake. I don't remember that happening either. And the last page that you'll just have to see it to believe it. And I've forgotten the last page, so
yeah, I'm going to have to read it again.
It's not that big a deal.
And I think I want to say the super team that they're not in the wake is actually the Doom. They are noted in Forever Evil number 4.
Yeah, they are.
That or maybe it was Justice League 26. I don't. It was one of the other. So.
Yeah, true.
I think it might have been in Justice League, though. Either way, though, if the Doom Patrol has been obliterated, it happened off panel, so you don't.
It did.
I mean, you don't see it. I don't know. I'm going to have to take a look at the Forever Evil 4 now, because that solicit sounds like. Like I either read the issue way too quickly, or they've changed their mind and
well, that's
stuff off to the next.
Change things at the last minute, DC never.
Well, to be fair, I'm sure the solicits have to be written. Although this solicit page, I would think, doesn't need to be written that much further ahead than everything else. So.
I don't. Yeah, but you know, you've heard all the last minute changes made people leave, so that's just what I was was thinking of. So
I have to say that reading these back to back, or looking at these back to back, number 3 and number 4, was much more satisfying for me than with that big gap between them. It was like binge reading.
Oh, absolutely.
Or binge watching
TV. Yeah, I liked it better when it's all quick.
Yeah.
And see, here they've got the Justice League 25 coming out after level 3. Like, they're saying it's supposed to come out in 2 weeks. Now it came out either the week of or a week before. So is Forever Evil, has it slipped? Is it a little behind right now, or?
It might have been behind, yeah.
Well, given its lack of impact on anything other than the two Justice League, or maybe the three Justice League books, it's inconsequential whether it slips or not.
Yeah, it doesn't matter at all, but it looks, yeah, like, because it's contained, and the tie-ins that they have
as long as the last issue comes on time, I think that's the only one that matters in terms of timing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, nothing else in the DCU is hinging on it at this point.
No, I mean, even the Justice League arc and the Trinity of Sin books have zero the central book, because they have their own little I'm having a brain fart, but they're fighting the Blight, which
right, yeah,
and I think
and that's its own little storyline, right? So it's
right.
It's tied into Forever Evil, sort of, but it's its own thing, and it'll do its own thing off in
JLA Darkland.
Yeah.
And given that these are these two, the last two issues, that's like were basically origin issues, as well as the latest one was also an origin issue. I would prefer them to not slip on the main, you know, series, the main Forever Evil series, but it doesn't seem to be, it doesn't matter.
No.
Because it's got its own little storyline going on, and they're just doing these origins of the syndicate over in Justice League. And Justice League America is doing that little passing through the psyches of the captured Justice League members.
Yeah.
Again, yeah, that's what I kind of dropped out of, because I felt like, I don't know, I'd seen a lot of that before. Like, it seemed like it was going to be more than just a single issue of exploring all the different characters' psyches. A single issue I could take, but it looks like it's extending itself into multiple issues of, and let's check in on this character, and let's check in on this character, and I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is more of a Stargirl, John spotlight, but
it's incredibly boring.
It is.
And it's exactly what you said, Maria. The first, if they could have done it, if they condensed it into maybe two issues, that would have been actually a good length where they get, okay, John's and Stargirl are kind of pulling their shit together, and then they start exploring what's going on with the rest of the Justice League. That would have been sufficient. There were two issues at the most, but somehow they're going to stretch it over, God help them, six or seven issues? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look at solicits to see.
I'll have to look in on it. It seemed to me like it was lots of exploring the inner worlds of the characters without really doing much to push the story forward. Those types of issues are fine. They're fine as a chapter of a larger story, but they're not. Yeah. They shouldn't become the story, I don't think.
No, it's and that's where they initially, and they reveal it here and also in Forever Evil number 3, but they did in Justice League. I don't know whether it was 9 or 10. Also, about them being sucked into the Firestorm Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, because she talks about running into these two kids, Ronnie Raymond and Jason Roush. She doesn't know who they are. I'm talking about Stargirl. She has no idea who they are.
Right.
And that's what Hans reveals to her, who they are, and he exposes.
It might be for people that never read Firestorm too.
Well, sure. She's a point of view character. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Good point.
Really, and especially when it comes to those second tier characters that are in Justice League America. Anyhow, I'm just saying it's been stretched.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to find the solicit for the Justice League for December and see if they're still doing it even then. Let's see.
They did. They have three issues so far of them just exploring, you know, going from room to room, so to speak. And they had a Stargirl. The latest one was more Stargirl-centric. I imagine that they're going to waste an issue doing a John Jones-centric issue next. That would be my
Yeah, here is Justice League of America number 12. It's still Forever Evil. Matt Kent, Eddie Barrows, and various devastating battle against Despero begins as Manhunter and Stargirl arrive in San Francisco to save Stargirl's family from Firestorm's fallout. So they're still doing it even then. That's 1 month before it all ends.
But damn, them bringing Despero in. I always love Despero.
So. Oh, yeah. He's an interesting character, that's for sure.
I even liked him when he was the big hulking Despero.
Yes. Yes, that was interesting, wasn't it?
What was it? Justice League Task Force.
Yeah, yeah. They did do that, didn't they?
They did.
I remember that.
He was a good guy for a few minutes.
Well, I think we got her covered, man.
Yep.
You guys got anything else?
Nope.
I just want to say, I mean, I think I've come across as slightly negative on this, but overall it's fun. I just think it's taking too long.
Oh, well, yeah, it's definitely taking too long. There's no reason for them to have 7 months of this. They could have done it in 4, and then all those quote-unquote tie-ins, which obviously Justice League proper is the only one that really has any effect, because there's things going on in there that tie directly into issues and so forth, and they didn't need to have all those miniseries either.
I would just rather have it come out quicker, I think, than...
Yeah, because, it's interesting to see these origins. Pieces of the alternate universe, we don't need it. We don't really need it.
Marvel made the same mistake with Avengers versus X-Men, where it went on a little too long.
Good Lord, yes, it did.
It started off strong. This started off strong. There was the second act has been long, and I'm sure the third act will be, you know, really great. But that's Geoff Johns. He does, you know, slow, 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 bam. And
yeah, I know. And then you're like, my God, it ended quick.
And that's what Bendis did with Avengers versus X-Men as well, as it was a very slow middle.
I agree.
But Avengers versus X-Men sold like gangbusters, and this is selling pretty well. Wow.
Yeah, it seems like I've heard the same.
So, bully for DC. So
yep.
I'm not negative. I just want.
No, I agree. I want it now.
I'm on my Veruca Salt moment. I want it now.
There you go. That's funny. So there you go.
I want a squirrel.
Squirrel. Whoa! What the hell was that?
A squirrel.
Something just exploded. Mm-hmm. Either fell or something. Hopefully it's not the pipes again. That would not be good.
What?
I heard just this loud pop just now, so either something fell over or I don't know. If I hear running water, I know what it is. Which I'm paranoid about hearing the sound of running water now.
I'm going to start sending you little emails with nothing but water sounds.
Jeez. You're evil, sir. Evil.
Chris's coworkers are all, Chris, you're not taking showers anymore, are you? No. No, I can't.
Oh, good Lord. That's hilarious. Anyway.
Bathing like an elephant in the dirt.
Yeah, if you wrap yourself in enough dirt, you'll be fine.
You're kidding me.
Alrighty.
Alright. As always, you can send us emails at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com, and you can join us on our wonderful Facebook page and talk to all the geeky friends. No offense to all those people. You can also comment on the actual episodes. That is working, and you know the spammers are being kept at bay with wonderful little back end software. So come and join us and let us know what you think. And that is it for this week.
Go Cardinals.
Lovely.
And we're out.